The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
We're going to talk about an issue now that is close to home, literally, for so many of you listening, but from a Boston perspective, because Philip Giffey is the Executive Director with NOAA. They're a non-profit community development organisation providing what? Affordable housing here in Boston. Philip, you're very welcome to the show, and thank you for taking the time to speak to us. So maybe expand on that very short little definition. Like, what is NOAA? What do you do?
Thank you for having me. Well, NOAA is a community development corporation, which specifically is chartered in Massachusetts to work on affordable housing and what we would call community development issues. So community, we build community, we're development, we develop housing and small businesses and a corporation, so we're a legal enterprise, but we're nonprofit tax exempt. So when we develop or do these things, I report to a board of directors, and as your team knows, we had a board meeting last night to whom I report and give lots of information on a regular basis.
So tell me a little bit about that community picture and how important that is in terms of, you know, housing provision, how much they go hand in hand.
I think they go very closely together. So there are a lot of groups like ours in Massachusetts and around the country, and I think we see community go hand in hand with housing. So you want to build housing for your community or your neighborhood, you may call it that way. Your community doesn't have to, it would be a legally defined area. So East Boston, which is Logan Airport, for those who may be listening, and many might have landed there. So it's cheek to jowl to our community of about 45,000 people. We're a changing demographic neighborhood, actually. So our board is primarily from the community, and what we know people who lack housing, we know people who need housing, we know people who suffer from lack of housing who are paying a lot more than they would ordinarily like to live a good life. We have people on our board who have two incomes. They can't find a place to own in the neighborhood, and that's the kind of thing we're seeing throughout the city, and I think what I read about in Ireland as well. So what it's doing is forcing people from the 25 to 44-year-old age group, middle income, innovation, hardworking, passionate, want to build community and settle down. They can't do that very easily anymore, and so a lot of people are leaving the state for, I would say, warmer climates. Irish climate may be nice on occasion, but we prefer a little bit more sun here at the same time. And I think the people who are leaving sort of prefer a sunnier economic climate, too. So we sort of face similar crises, as I read it from literature I read about Ireland as well.
Yeah, no, it is. Everything you're saying there, I think, will resonate with our listeners, and it certainly resonates with me. And there has always been, and to a degree, there will always be a need for kind of, be it philanthropy or charity or state intervention to maybe provide housing, for some. But what we have seen in recent years, and it sounds like you've seen it here, is the people who, you know, as per the terms, and maybe this is an old-fashioned view, but as per the kind of the old-fashioned terms of the social contract, you know, I've got a job, right, and I work hard, and right, I don't necessarily need to have a kind of a yacht on the Mediterranean, I don't need to be going skiing twice a year, right, but I should at least be able to put a roof over my head and food on the table if I've got a job and I work hard. And that kind of has evaporated.
Well, I think you're right, and I think people are seeing lots of distress in a lot of ways now. I think you're seeing it manifest in politics of one kind or another throughout the continent and across the United States. So we're not getting into all of that, but I do think people feel a dislocation because culture has changed and people can't find housing in lots of different ways. They don't feel like they, as a middle class, are being supported. You know, there are many benefits in the country. We have a great country, but inflation has taken a lot out of people's paychecks over a period of time, not just one administration. But I think people feel like they're noticing that there's a dislocation. There are mental health issues as well. So I think people, when you add all that up, there is a fear for the future, fear for what they would like to see for themselves as they grow, and for their economic well-being. So I think people feel the ground is moving underneath and they don't know where to turn right now for those kind of things.
Yeah, it kind of creates a sense of disenfranchisement, doesn't it, with the system. And it also, that kind of creates fertile ground for kind of populism. If the idea of populism is that there's an elite out there and they're kind of screwing you over, as it were. You know, if you kind of feel like, God, I've done all the things I'm meant to do and the system isn't working for me, you're receptive to that message, aren't you?
Yeah, we came to talk about housing, but I think that there is one of the consequences of feeling that you don't have housing is a baseline. If you don't have housing, it's not like you don't have ice cream or you don't have your next meal. You don't have a basic human necessity. You can't feel safe for yourself, your family, your children, or your future, or your family at all anywhere. So if you don't have that firm place where you can go home and feel secure on a regular basis, you do feel, I guess you're using the term, dislocated. And I think that does create social unrest. That ripples throughout, I think, culture and society for a variety of different reasons.
Yeah, it's the old kind of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, isn't it? And shelter is right down there at the very, very, very bottom of it.
Right, and you said, you know, some of us over here think it's a basic human right. And so, you know, we are not building housing fast enough here. We have a good government in Massachusetts, our state, good leadership, and in Washington throughout time, and even on, let's call it the red side, as well as the blue side. But there isn't enough to keep up with it. Government here used to do a lot more than it currently is doing. Massachusetts does a significant amount of housing, and we won't go into all the programs, but we really benefit here in Massachusetts by really good leadership, many programs, but we don't have enough, in part because zoning has restricted us, land is expensive, labor costs have gone up, and interest rates ticked up in the past couple of years as well.
So happening as
all those things I'm reading about over there have happened here at the same time. So I do think, we've benefited by significant government investment, but there's also a fierce resistance to that kind of change. And some people see, let the private sector take care of itself, move somewhere else. Well, those are easy to say and hard to live out if you're a constituent or you want to value the social contract you might have felt between you yourself and your government. So I think that's, again, where people feel afraid about they can't get there, afraid and afraid at the same time. So it's causing a lot of different issues. If everybody had housing, we'd be a happier place, but we don't. So we're all struggling to make that happen.
I like as well the emphasis on community, because maybe that was one of the lessons that social housing projects learned painfully in the past, was maybe just a focus on just bricks and mortar. You know, build housing, put people in it, that's it. You don't need to worry about any of the other kind of services, any of the other amenities. And then over time, social problems begin to kind of take hold and it's hard to deal with.
Right. I do think that, you know, we couldn't do without free enterprise and the innovation that goes with all that and the investment, the proper investment, and people can make a profit. But when that's too much of an emphasis on just the private sector and you're on your own, which some in maybe this country, I don't know, Ireland, sort of see, that's the future. You should just do what the private enterprise wants you to do. If we don't have some amendments to that kind of thing, then you're going to end up with a lack of community. You don't automatically have community because you live in the same building, but you do build community if you're in proximity to each other and you have more intention about that. So I think groups like NOAA, community development corporations and whatnot, see that as an essential piece of our work. We do try to be intentional about creating a variety of programs to bring people together on occasion, to have festivals, summer outings, go to the beach, have your kids come together. Those things, I think, do build neighborhood. They do intentionally build community. And I think there is a much more solid foundation to the world that we live in if we have, let's just call it community again, as opposed to I just have my own house. If that's all you had, that would be fine. But there is more to that, to life, to community, to society. You have a stronger society if you can build community because you care for each other. And I think the same thing holds true if we're looking at the problem of homelessness or even migration, which we're seeing throughout our continents and our country. So right now, I think some of the people who feel like they don't have housing feel like the people who are coming gain benefit because they need housing. We can provide some of that, but let's invest a little bit more. The free enterprise will not take care of that. Our government has to do a little bit more investment in that to take care of that. They also need immigration policies, which properly amend that so we can take care of the right number of people, whatever that is. But those are all challenges to building community. So if you have, let's say, too much, whatever that is, then you're going to feel people will feel like they're at a loss for their own community and their own housing, like people who come here. And they don't come here just for that. They come for safety, like our parents and grandparents have come from across the shores for many reasons and always will to this great country. We do have to provide resources for people and also the proper enforcement of policies that doesn't make it so easy where you just walk across and then you're expected to gain benefits. So all these things are going together at the same time. We're talking about community. But a lot of people do reach out their hands to people who are new. They do want to build community. They do recognize our mutual humanity in these kind of crisis situations. But it does fray at the edges. And some people might call it compassion fatigue, which leads to, I don't want to spend any more money on housing, or I need not more money on housing.
Yeah.
So we're somewhere in that moment. It's a struggle for both.
Yeah, and it's a moment that we're absolutely in Ireland. I've kind of nodding along to everything you're saying here, and I think people will be at home. You know, those issues around resourcing as well and managing inward flows of migration and all of that and the pressures it puts. And of course, that social housing picture being so important both here and at home. So listen, we thank you for your time, Philip. It's been really interesting chatting to you. Philip Giffey is the Executive Director with NOAA.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.